Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Mike Harold, president of the First Friday Club of Greater Akron. On behalf of myself and the First Friday Club board, I'd like to welcome you and thank you for coming to our January 24, 2024 program. Our very special speakers for today are seminarians from our diocesan seminary. Please silence your cell phones so that we can all enjoy today's program. After the presentation, you'll have the opportunity to write down questions for our speakers. After the talk, we'll have a short announcement break to collect questions, cards, and then have a question and answer session. It's now my pleasure to introduce Archbishop Hoban student Todd Holtzapfel, who will offer our opening prayer.
Lord, may your goodness and love be present among us today. Come bless our gathering with unity, hope, and vision. Lord, we pray for unity. Build in us all a deep respect for one another so that your church may be one. Lord, we pray for hope. Come stir your hope within our hearts and renew our faith. May your vision fill our lives as we seek to reveal your love. Lord, we pray for vision. Bless this food we have shared and those who have prepared it. Lord, we pray for your blessings. We ask all this in the glorious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Ted. It's my pleasure now to introduce First Friday Club Vice President, Deacon William Yoho, who will introduce our speakers. Gentlemen, if you'd like to come up. Well, Deacon Will Yoho here. I have to tell you that I think this is the best panel of seminarians and priests that we've ever had. It truly is a power-packed team. We've got it covers the spectrum as far as from seminary to priesthood. So it truly is a pleasure for me to have each one of them, and I know they'll be a blessing for you. Ultimately, I believe when we walk out the door, each and every one of us is going to be charged up to reach out to other talented young men to consider the vocation and then to encourage them to do that. We have the privilege of having Father Eric Garris with us. He is the Diocesan Director of Vocations. His home parish is Our Lady of Mount Carmel in Wycliffe. He went to Lake Catholic High School and graduated in 2008, completed his studies at Borromeo Seminary in 2012, and was ordained in 2017. He was assigned at St. Raphael in Bay Village from 17 to 21, and in 22 became the Director of Vocations for the diocese. He also teaches and preaches at the seminary, in school at the Aquinas Institute in St. Louis, which is really a pretty cool thing. Our first seminarian is John Scantlin. He is a first-year pre-theology at St. Mary's Seminary. He graduated from John Carroll with a bachelor's degree in accounting. And one of the great blessings of our parish is not only do we have those young men that go from high school into the seminary program, but we're seeing an awful lot of great, talented men that have gone on to have their undergraduate in particular studies, but then they go on and work in the, you know, outside world and have those life experiences. So our diocese is very blessed to have that, and John Scanlon is one of those gentlemen. He worked at PwC in accounting, and then after that at Living Stone Partners, where he did M&A in investment banking. Before, and then after those work experiences, he started to discern for the call to seminary. He is a local boy here at St. Sebastian's Parish, and his parents are David Scantlin and Dr. Molly Scantlin, who also live in Akron. Our second seminarian is Alex Crookmeyer. He's a first-year theology student at the seminary. He graduated from Borromeo with his undergraduate this past spring. He is the son of Bill and Julie Crookmeyer. His parish is actually my first home parish, which is Our Lady of Victory in Talmadge, where my wife and I were married. Great parish. And then two interesting things about Alex is that he actually climbed the highest mountain in Colorado, which is Mount Elbert. And then the other thing is, this past summer, he studied sacred scriptures in Germany, which is kind of a cool thing. And once again, I will say this, we are so blessed in this diocese because the priests that we have are such talented young men. They truly are. You know, I know many young priests, and they could be fast movers in civilian careers. You know, many of them by their 30s would probably be vice president in any corporation. And we are so blessed in this diocese to have so many of those talented young men. And then our last panel member is a personal friend of mine. He's a fellow deacon, and God willing, he will be ordained this spring. How cool is that? He actually grew up with my children, homeschooled, and his home parish is Our Lady of Victory. He is the son of Pete and Mary Beth Garvin, who I have the privilege of working with in many ministries. So it's such a diverse panel coming from different experiences. And that's why our diocese is so blessed, because when they minister, they are able to minister to people, knowing and connecting with them. So without any further ado, sorry for taking so long, but truly they are great young men. Please give a welcome. And just so you know, we're going to have about 30 or 40 minutes. They're just going to share about their faith journey and their call to priesthood. And then we'll have the question and answers after that. Thank you, Father.
Thank you. Well, thank you to Deacon Will for a very life-giving introduction. I joked with Deacon Michael when you said this is the best panel you've had. I said, is this the only one that they've had? but I'm very grateful to be here, and it's good to be in what I consider to be Cleveland's best suburb down here in Akron. Part of the reason of me being here as vocation director is everyone in Akron always says, don't forget about Akron. And I say, I can't. As vocation director, it's a great joy to kind of be here, there, and everywhere, and to be with you in a particular way today here. You have on your tables there a little bit of a list of the seminarians who are from the southern part of the diocese. What I wanted to do today is, you'll hear a lot from the men regarding their own stories. I can share a little bit about myself and how I got to be in the position that I'm in. But I also thought it'd be helpful to give a little bit of a snapshot as to what is the state of vocations? What is the state of the seminary currently from the vocation director? So I've been in this role for the past year and a half. I replaced Father Mike McCandless. I know that there's a strong Holy Family contingent here. And I was very, very grateful to work with Father Mike for 6 months. One of the things that people don't know is that Father Mike was the longest serving vocation director in the United States. He was vocation director in the Diocese of Cleveland for 12 years, which is about 11 years more than most vocation directors make it in that career. But it's a difficult ministry, and it's a different ministry. You know, as a diocesan priest, I was drawn to be a parish priest. I had tremendous examples of priesthood growing up, And when I moved into this role, my life kind of changed from instead of walking across a parking lot to going to a meeting, it became driving down to Akron and kind of going here, there, and everywhere. But I recognize I don't like being contained. I don't like being in one place for an extended period of time. And the Lord's like, I have a life for you in which all of that can be fulfilled. Go to Akron and then Cleveland and then Westlake and then go to your office in Wycliffe and then go back to Cleveland, then back to Akron and back to Westlake and then back to, like, this is all in a day's work. But the great joy that I have in my role is inherently just accompanying individuals along the path of discernment. Many men and some women come to me at least with the inkling that maybe this is for me. And that inkling could have come from their own thoughts, their own prayer, their own ministry and service, and reflected and afterwards thinking, I like doing this. For some of them, it may have come from a pastor or a priest or someone in the parish inviting them to consider. For some of them, it's a pastor giving me a phone call and saying, call this guy. And I say, have you talked to him? No, but I think you should. And so I call and I say, hey, I'm Father Eric. And they're like, I don't know what to do here. But a lot of it is just that whole sense of assessing. You know, we talk about discernment, and discernment is very much just kind of sifting through and unpacking what is going on within the individual's heart, life, to look at certain experiences. I think for many young people in my role as vocation director, obviously I want to meet with them and I want to have conversations with them. One of the things that I've been trying to do a lot of is to, we run a lot of events in the vocation office. We have come and see weekends. We have discovery days where we have young kids come up to the seminary for the day just to see it and to meet religious women. We're doing these new things called R&R. So every Thursday, there is Mass at the seminary. Once a month, we're doing 45 minutes of adoration prior to. So we do all these different events. I do discernment groups at Hoban, and I'm kind of all over the place. But I'm also trying to go with what I call vocation-adjacent events. So for a lot of young people, the thought to discern a vocation to the seminary or priesthood or to look at this oftentimes comes from a spiritual encounter. I think you'll probably hear from all these guys that, you know, whether that be at Mass, at adoration, at a youth event, whatever that may be, but to compound that and to say, okay, from this encounter, where is the Lord calling me and how is the Lord calling me to be in relationship with him? And so a lot of what I'm doing is going to the NCYCs and the youth conference that's happening tomorrow in the diocese just to meet, but then also to go from that point forward. I'm also finding more and more, at least this snapshot of last year and looking forward, young people are afraid of making a bad decision. And I think they have a great fear of, what if I do this thing and it's not for me, will I be a failure? I think the guys who are here today, you know, we'll speak to that to some degree. But I think it's providing them with the experiences to say, we're going to be supported. I think one of the greatest things that we have in our diocese is the fact that the men are coming from our diocese, they're studying in our diocese, they're doing their pastoral ministry and service in the diocese. Over break, they're at home, and they know, I mean, the 12 guys, who, I don't even know how many, we'll say 7, 8, 9 guys who are here, the support of the people. That, like, anywhere you go, you are supported. And it's not just we want you to be a priest, but we support you in your role as seminarian, as someone who's stepping forward and saying, I'm going to consider this. And that's where one of my principles of vocation ministry is that an invitation goes a lot further than an imposition. So you talk about what to do moving forward from here, moving forward. I would consider inviting young men in your parish to say, have you ever considered? Or if you were to consider, know that I would support you. I've been a priest for 7 years, and I don't like being told what to do still. Someone said, Father, I think you should. I don't know what I want to do. You know, but that whole sense of I would support you in this. We have a tremendous culture of vocations that's present in the diocese. What creates culture? People. People dictate culture. And the people that are dictating the culture of vocations are not just the seminarians and the priests, but it's all of us. We all have a role to play in this. We are the church, building up the church and supporting the church. So know that your prayers and the invitations that you express towards young people, they go a long way. I can tell you in my own discernment, I grew up, you know, going to Mass with my family, wanting to leave after communion every week, never leaving after communion, and because my mom told me, no, we need to stay. My dad would tell me that Judas left early, so we can't be the first ones to leave early. But it wasn't until, you know, kind of moving into my later kind of high school time where I began to take faith seriously. And throughout that time, there were stirrings in my own heart to maybe consider, but they were only ratified and further kind of encouraged by the people of my parish who were seeing me at daily mass and saying, you know, are you going to be a priest? And I'm like, I don't know, you know, but just knowing that people saw that in me, because what they were saying was, we see something in you and we want you to see that in yourself. I think what the seminary does is it gives men the opportunity to see within them what the church sees within them. And to unpack that, the bottom of my email, I use a quote from St. John Paul II who says, when you wonder about the mystery of yourself, look to Christ who gives you the meaning of life. And the men who are in seminary are doing exactly that through their studies, through their prayer, through their pastoral ministry, and through their own humanity. And so I consider my role to be a blessed role to accompany young people. I always tell people I'm not a used car salesman. My goal is not to get you into the seminary, and I don't get a commission for every guy that I get in. I do believe, hopefully, that my reward will be great in heaven. But I really do consider it a great joy to accompany people in that path of discernment as they're kind of going through that process of what does this all look like. A lot of what I'm doing is providing them not just with, okay, let's unpack the thought, but what are the experiences that are going to correspond with this desire? So I'm grateful to be in this role. It's a fun thing to do. I can't believe that I get paid to do this because I like doing what I'm doing. But nevertheless, it's a great joy to accompany men in this. And so the guys who are going to share their story will give a little bit of a snapshot, and I think it's always helpful not just to hear where they come from and where they went, but to have the articulation of how the Lord has been moving in their life. We have to remember, one of the greatest solaces I've received in prayer recently is because I'm always freaking out about the numbers, and everyone asks me, how many guys, how many guys, how many guys, how many guys, how many guys? I really felt the Lord saying, you're the vocation director, not the vocation creator. And to know that we have to approach this with a sense of reverence, that this is the infinite God of the universe engaging individuals and calling them to something great. And so what we get access to today is not just how did you wind up to where you were, but to hear how has the Lord worked in your life and your heart to encourage you to be in this space. So with that, I think, John, you're next. Tag team in the ropes. John, you're up.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for inviting me. Thank you so much for inviting me to be able to come and share my vocation story with everyone here. It's been a long and winding road, as was detailed in my initial bio. I did not go to the seminary immediately after high school. I actually chose to go to John Carroll, even though I did discern a little bit after high school. I did a couple of come and see weekends, one with the Jesuits and one with the Congregation of the Holy Cross, but for a variety of reasons decided that I wanted to go to John Carroll to pursue swimming as a collegiate athlete and then also to major in business. And then at that time, my faith was not really that important to me. I was not a very good Catholic. Was very much a lapsed Catholic and away from the church. So I entered at John Carroll after graduating from Firestone High School, growing up in Akron in 2013. Graduated in 2017 with a degree in accounting and then went on to work for 2 years at PricewaterhouseCoopers, an accounting firm, and then ended up switching industries and going into investment banking, working at Livingstone Partners, a boutique investment bank in Chicago. If you had asked freshman year John in college if I had gotten everything that I could have possibly wanted by the end of 2021, I would have said yes. I was fortunate in my career to be able to travel the world. I got tons of professional accolades, was making more money than I could ever possibly need in my mid-20s, Had a great relationship. I actually was engaged at the end of 2021. But by getting everything that I thought I wanted, I was completely miserable, which then precipitated a very serious spiritual crisis. At the time, I didn't know it was a spiritual crisis. I thought, oh, I'm just burned out. I'm just tired. I'm working 80 to 100 hours a week. It must be something like that. So decided to come home to Akron and put things on pause and try to figure things out. And as the months went by, nothing really got better until randomly I opened up my Bible. And at this point in my life, I was not a person who read the Bible ever, but just randomly opened up the Bible. And what did I flip to? The book of Ecclesiastes. And the words on the page spoke to me in such a deep and profound way. God was piercing me to my soul, vanity of vanity, and I was very much a very vain person. And at that point in time, I realized I needed to make some pretty serious changes to my life, and it was not an instantaneous process. That happened in March of 2022, and fast forward, it took me 8 months to summon the courage and also get the grace to be able to do a full general confession in November of 2022. Over that summer, I started to kind of feel the call to then rediscern the priesthood, that vocation that I had put on hold after high school. The thought came back to me, but one of the big thoughts was, I can't do this. I have a lot of baggage, all these other things. And it was scary. It was really scary to be able to get to feel that call, especially because it seemed like very much a 180 from where I was in life. But don't be afraid when Jesus comes knocking, because he will definitely give you the grace and open the door provide the pathway as long as you continue to walk with him. So I decided and got the grace and the courage to be able to go do that. My next big step was the full general confession with Father Valanchek over at St. Sebastian's, which is now my home parish. And the reason I chose to go to Father Valanchek versus the parish that I grew up in, which was St. Hilary's, was because I wanted to choose a good priest, but also a priest that I could never see again. little did I know that I was going to be seeing him at least on a weekly basis after that point. God works in mysterious ways, and I still remember the day. I mean, it was one of the most miraculous days of my life. Walking into the church, I showed up early. I've never lined up in the confessional line before. I'm sitting in the pew and still not resolved if I'm actually going to enter the confessional. I'm waiting, and this little old woman comes up. I've never seen her again after this moment, and she says, "Oh, you got here before me. You can go in line." All right, well, now I'm committed. I'm standing in the line. I can't back out now. God really does give you that little nudge. And as the months went by, once I developed a relationship with Father Valanchek, started to develop a prayer life, daily mass, started to discern, he put me in touch with a great priest, Father Matt Pfeiffer, to do some spiritual direction. And as the months started to roll on, it solidified the call to discern the priesthood. And that's what I know I'm doing at the seminary, and it's been an absolutely amazing journey so far. I was able to meet with Father Garris in the springtime, and every single step along the way, the doors continued to open, and everything that I thought might be holding me back or things that I kind of had issues with, it all miraculously went away. God can definitely open the doors. So I just started. I'm a pre-theologian, taking my undergraduate philosophy courses because I have my undergraduate degree. Just got done with my first semester, and it's been a grace-filled and an absolutely amazing experience. And I know I'm very blessed to have had family support. My mom is here. And also, from personal experience, what Father Eric was talking about, the call to discern. My dad actually spent around 2 years at the seminary and then discerned out and has an amazing vocation of marriage with 6 children. And I know that wherever I'm called to with Jesus, I will learn how to love, and I will be on an amazingly firm foundation now, a faith-filled foundation, that whatever my vocation is, it's going to be solid, versus previously doing it all on my own and outside the church, I was anything but solid. And as I leave the ending this, as I was praying about what we can do to help increase vocations, praying about this yesterday, and the thing that came up with my own vocation story is the sacrament of confession and just how important that is. It can be really hard to hear God's call when you're in a state of sin and you haven't gone to the confessional, if not impossible. He still works, even though I could feel the call, but I couldn't take the next step until I'd gone to the confessional. And just as everyone in this room, how can you make that impact in your own life? Are you making it public? It's public when we go to Mass, but with your own families, are you going to the confessional saying, hey, let's go as a family? We started to do a trip with the Scantling family over Christmas break where I told my brothers, sisters, hey, I'm going over to confession. Do you want to come with me? And just making it more public and developing that habit, because it's definitely something I know was lax in my life and is lax in, I think, a lot of people's lives, that it was almost impossible for me to then take the next step for my vocation until I developed that. So thank you so much for allowing me to share my story with you, and God bless.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
My name is Alex Crookmeyer. I'm a seminarian for the Diocese of Cleveland. I'm in my first year at St. Mary's. I graduated from Borromeo in the spring, as has been said. I'm a parishioner at Our Lady of Victory in Talmadge, and I'm here just to talk a little bit about my life. And I just wanted to say there are like three moments that I really want to talk about today. So the first time that I really kind of encountered the Lord, kind of setting my path for, I guess, holiness and trying to follow the Lord, I think that's really important to contextualize my vocational call. The first time that I really experienced the invitation to discernment, so the first time that I thought about the priesthood. And then as I'm actually, praise God, I am halfway through seminary at this point in the traditional setting, so 4.5 years in, 4.5 more years to go, in a sense. So it's been a fun time to experience discernment as getting to the seminary, but now also being in the seminary for a decent amount of time. And I think that it's also really fun to kind of share my story year after year and to some capacity, and how it starts to change because of more life, and how that's a real invitation for me to continue to reflect on the ways that the Lord has been working in my life in seminary and prior, and how he continue it as he still is. Growing up, I had a faith-filled family. I'm one of 5 children, 2 brothers and 2 sisters. And what I really appreciate about my upbringing with my family, as well as my parish community, was there was no lack in being taught the faith. I knew the faith. I knew about the Lord. I knew about his church. I knew about the sacraments. I could tell you the stories from Scripture, Adam and Eve, the fall, the incarnation, ascension, Pentecost. I could tell you about that. So I knew about the Lord, but something that I really lacked, and this is not for everyone, but for me, I felt like reflecting back on my life, this was something that was really essential. I didn't know the Lord, though. And there was a real distinction in my heart there, that I knew about him, but for some reason, and I don't know the answer to that, I had not encountered the Lord and knew him personally. And so as I was growing up, eventually it came to around the summer going into my sophomore year of high school, I was invited to go to the Steubenville Conference, which many of us are probably familiar with. And while I was there, there was something that was very unique and that occurred. While I was there, I was listening to one of the many speakers there that weekend, and his name was Paul J. Kim. And what I found as I was listening to him was that I was able to relate to his life in the way that he was describing it. He was giving his witness, and there was many elements that I resonated with. He was a cradle Catholic. His family attended Sunday Mass. They prayed together, but it wasn't necessarily anything abrasive, nothing that was so... It wasn't a mark of their life in a way that was kind of abnormal in the good sense. In the way that, like, this is the foundation for everything. And I felt like that was something that I could, that was part of my life. It was, the faith was very important, but it was kind of just there, but not something that we spoke to immediately. And as he was giving his testimony, he was recounting how he was invited to Steubenville, just like I was. And how at that moment as well, he was invited to, towards the end of the conference, just make an honest prayer to the Lord and invite him into his life and just say, Lord, maybe I don't know you, but I just desire to know you. I really do that. I do want that. And in that moment, as he's recounting this, opening his heart, he received a graced encounter and was able to feel, and the way that he described it was that the Lord walked into his heart and just embraced him there. And I think that in that moment, in this man's witness, and him testifying to the way that the Lord was working in his life, I received a grace moment as well. I'm kind of experienced something very similar. The Lord entering into my heart, embracing me there, and just kind of speaking, saying that I'm here, I love you. That was a real groundbreaking moment for me, to know of God's personal activity in my life. And now that I kind of, in a very simple way, I guess I know the Lord, or know that he can act in my life. And as I was continuing to move through my life, it was my junior year in high school. And at this time, at my home parish, this is time for confirmation. So I was going through the year, and eventually it was the day. And after the Mass, after receiving the sacrament, I was in our parish hall. And I was talking with my sponsor, and we were just making small talk, and sort of passing statement, a passing comment was made that really caught me off guard. He made this statement, you know, being a priest probably wouldn't be that bad. And it was in relation to, like, the cookies that were out, saying, like, oh, priests probably receive a lot of gifts, and they do. And it was a very comical statement. But for some reason, the Lord's grace is the answer. That statement turned very quickly into a question in my life. What would it be like to be a priest? I never really considered that very... I didn't really consider what the Lord had in mind for my life. And I think as I continue to look back on my life, there's a phrase that kind of comes about. And the phrase is something like, discernment begets intimacy. Like, I think in my life, I didn't necessarily know the Lord very well, and I think I still desire to grow in intimacy there. But when I found moments, and looking back, when I saw moments that the Lord was inviting me to something new or to discern something, intimacy always was involved in that. That as I was invited to something new, the Lord provided a greater opportunity to know him. And so as this question was in my mind, which, again, I was very confused by, because I never found the priesthood attractive. I found life-giving family life around me and my own family and people around me, and I saw that. It was something that I could observe very easily, but I didn't necessarily see that growing up in the priesthood. So I was confused why this question continued to persist. And over time, I started to just make the obvious recognition that this isn't going away. I don't know where this is where is this coming from? As we all know in discernment, is this my voice? Is this the enemy's voice? Is this the Lord's voice? And I think, quite simply, I just trusted that it was the Lord's voice. Over time, over like 8 months, I met with Father McCandless, when he was the vocation director at that time, a lot. I met with him, I think he told me once, I think I met with him like 12 times over the period of 8 months. And he has told me at some points, the first time that he saw me, he was like, I don't really know what this guy's like. I don't really know if he's going to do it. And after time, by God's grace, I was like, okay, I'll say yes. And that's how I got to seminary. There's not a lot to it. It was like, I was thinking about it, It didn't go away. The Lord eventually got through to say, just say yes. And I did. So that's how I got to seminary. And then, but there's two things that I still, even to today, like I'm very easy to say, like, I'm still discerning. And I do trust that, I have more trust today than I ever have that I'm on the right path. I do really believe that. But I don't shy away from the fact that I'm still discerning the Lord's call in my life. But those two things. One, whose voice constantly keeps saying, you know, be my priest, or an invitation to that. And then also the attractiveness of the priesthood. Those things, like, don't miraculously go away when I say yes to that. But I want to share a little bit about how the priesthood has become very attractive in my life, or what I witness as the priesthood. And no matter what happens, I've come to see it's a beautiful thing. My senior year at Borromeo, there was part of my formation was to do some homeless outreach. I was working with an organization called Labra, named after St. Benedict Joseph Labra. And there was one encounter that really stuck with me. Going out, we would bring clothes, food, and we'd start to visit some people on a regular basis. And there was this one man that we knew very well, or my group did. And we had to leave very quickly because we had a lot of other stops to go to. And when we came there, after a couple of minutes, we were trying to leave, but I noticed very quickly that he didn't want us to. He didn't want us to leave. And as we kept talking, it actually really pained me to walk away from that moment. And it pained me because I recognized that what my goal in that moment wasn't to love, but rather was to leave because I had an agenda to do. Like, I had to go and I had things I needed to do, and instead of being present to him. And what I recognized in that moment was the deep desire for people at all places to be received and loved, and really, in my mind, to be fathered. And in my mind, the more I've been in seminary, the more I've recognized that I think about spiritual fatherhood much more than I have biological fatherhood, and that this is a real invitation and very fulfilling to be there for people and wherever they are and to be present to them. So I think this is the answer to the attractiveness of priesthood, that I've started to see that spiritual fatherhood is a real fatherhood. So thank you very much for just listening to the places that the Lord has been active in my life. And I would just thank you all for the support that you do offer to us. That's the last thing I'll say. So thank you very much.
And then last but not least, you get me. So as Deacon Will mentioned, my name is Deacon Michael Garvin. My home parish is St. Hilary's in Fairlawn, so right up the road. And I'm a transitional deacon assigned out to St. Joseph's in Strongsville. So I'm doing diaconal ministry out there. Then God willing, I'll be ordained a priest this coming May. So I am towards the end of this seminary program. I grew up over in Cuyahoga Falls. I'm one of six boys, so I have five brothers. And I grew up there in Cuyahoga Falls with my mom, Mary Beth, and my late dad, Pete. I grew up Catholic, so I was a cradle Catholic, and faith was a pretty solid foundation at home. So we would pray together as a family, we would go to Mass on the weekends, night prayers, things like that. Faith was integral. But at any point, for everyone, there comes this point where you have to make your faith your own. So, being a cradle Catholic, yes, I knew the faith. Not all the intricacies, but I knew how to pray, all these things. But I decided in high school that I was like, okay, there's something about the faith which is interesting. There's something about the Mass which is interesting. I was an altar server, and the Mass had piqued my interest. And so, in high school, I decided, okay, we're going to make my faith my own. We're going to look into things and just keep learning about faith and, be a good Catholic. So I got involved in a youth group over at St. Hilary's. And in this youth group, I really started to learn about, what it meant to be a good Christian, what it meant to pray well, to have a good prayer life, to have a spiritual life. And on one of the retreats that I had attended with this youth group, this would have been fall of freshman year, they ended the retreat with this invitation to pray about your vocation. And as a freshman in high school, I didn't know what that was. I was like, a vocation? Is that a vacation? Is that, what is this? but I was like, oh, you know what? I'm on. Oh, okay, I thought it died. I decided to jump in. I was like, I have nothing to lose. I want to keep learning about this. So I started to pray, Lord, what do you want me to do? What is my vocation? And something I noticed very quickly after about a month or so, this seems like it's cutting out. After about a month or so, the idea of the seminary and the priesthood sort of popped up in the back of my mind. Now, as a freshman in high school, I ignored it, as most freshmen would. I was like, I have things I want to do. I have friendships I want to pursue. Degrees I want, like, you know, jobs, engineering, computer science, all the stuff I want to do. So, you know, seminary, we're just going to leave that in the back corner and ignore it for a while. I'm going to switch to this microphone. Maybe this. Oh my gosh.
Much better.
There we go. Okay. We'll try that. So the seminary, yeah, popped up in the back of my mind. I ignored it, but as I went through high school, I discovered that this idea of the seminary, it wasn't going away. Freshman year came and went, sophomore year came and went, junior year came and went, and I realized, okay, I should probably look into this. The Lord must be calling me to something. I don't know what it is yet, but I'm going to look into it. So I started to do some come-and-sees, some retreats up at the seminary, just to sort of get an idea of what seminary life is like, and, you know, what the guys were like, and what it's like to study there. And on one of these come-and-sees, I was sitting in adoration, and in adoration, I received from the Lord just a little invitation saying, you have everything you need to make a decision, so just go for it. And I was like, oh, okay, sure, we'll try it, we'll give it a go. And so I applied to the seminary. That would have been December of my senior year, must have been, and jumped right into the seminary, Borromeo Seminary, right out of high school. Going into Borromeo, I had no idea that I would be here today. I mean, of course, it's a goal, but growing up, I'm like, man, those deacons, they're so holy. They've got everything figured out. I'll never get there. Here I am. Where was I going with that thought? Discernment has been something that has been ongoing up until just even the past few years. So that initial invitation from the Lord got me in the door, but then after that there was continued discernment to keep going through the seminary. And the seminary is really impressive in how it's structured, in that in every component of seminary it helps you with discernment. So there are four main pillars that the seminary sort of employs that they focus on throughout your time there. So there's the academic formation, there's the pastoral formation, human formation, and spiritual formation. And all of these things helped me to discover that ministry is something that I can do. Ministry is something I enjoy. Ministry is something that I believe that the Lord is calling me to. So academically, intellectually, I went through 4 years of college at Borromeo and John Carroll. Left there with a bachelor's in philosophy. And I'm currently working on a couple master's degrees over at St. Mary's Seminary. And never in a million years would I have thought that I would have had a master's. I never considered myself an academic. And in some ways, I still don't. But what I've discovered with the academics is that by learning about the faith, that gives me the tools to teach the faith and to share the faith more efficiently, more readily, and to do it well in the parish. So these degrees, which I previously thought were just for degree's sake, were no longer, they had a use for them. Pastoral as well, working with people, praying with people, learning what it's like to work with people, to journey with people through their ups and their downs. That's been a really affirming point of seminary formation. The ability to, especially as a deacon here, to journey with people through the ups in their lives, the baptisms, the weddings, the first communions, through the low points in their lives, the funerals, things like that, the deaths. That's a very privileged place. And in that privileged place, I see the Lord saying, I'm inviting you, we're up to walk with them, to journey with them, to help them see me even in that difficulty. And then finally, as well, the spiritual formation at the seminary, learning, you know, what it's like to have a good prayer life, different spiritualities, diving into the depths and the riches of the church, and its liturgy and its prayer has been good, as well as the human formation. So at the seminary here in Cleveland, we know people 8 years ahead of us, if you enter as a freshman, so you know people who are about to be ordained. And then as someone about to be ordained, you know someone who is just starting as a freshman. So there's this community from start to finish, 8 years forward and 8 years back. So there's a good fraternity as well in the priesthood, which has helped with discernment. And so this, I guess the entire point of, I guess, all that there. God got me in the door, and God has helped me through seminary to continue to discern and to continue to share with me that ministry, yeah, it's something I enjoy, it's something which is good, it's something I can do, and it's something that he's calling me to love his people through. It's something I'm able to do, it's something I think I do a decent job at, and it's something that the Lord, even all, it's something that the Lord will sustain in everything there. I guess to wrap up real quick, I know I'm short on time. Something that I was thinking about this on drive over. The vocation crisis can be challenging, and it can look dismal. It's like, how are we going to staff our parishes with a lower number of priests? We're doing okay here in Cleveland, but you know it's a reality. What are we going to do? And I think that something all of us can do is to share with people that the priesthood is a wonderful life. It's something that I've heard about. It's something that I'm tasting now, and I will continue to taste and dive into more fully as a priest in a few short months. But often, when people hear of a priest, they think of someone who's lonely and crabby and just sits in the rectory and is boring. And, you know, all these stereotypes, you can think of these yourselves. And that can discourage people from actually looking into it. But I think we can share with people that actually, no, the priesthood, it's pretty cool. I mean, yeah, there are some difficult times, sure. It's a thing. There are some lonely moments. There are difficulties. But there's a depth and a richness that comes with being a priest, that comes with ministering in a way that the Lord is inviting us into. So that's my invitation to you today. Share with people that the priesthood, it's worth it. If there's someone that you know who might be thinking of it, encourage them. Don't tell them. Encourage them, as Father Jeff was mentioning, to look into the seminary. And if there's someone here who might be considering the seminary as well, give it a shot. Give it a try. See what happens. That's all I have for you.
Amen. Can you feel it? Can you feel it, folks?
Amen.
In the room? You got some old people out here that want to go to the seminary. So. I want to thank you again for that wonderful, inspiring talk. A few announcements. Our next First Friday will be here on Friday, February 2nd. We will have a change of pace program featuring the Walsh University Chamber Singers. If you're listening to our podcast, this on our website, we invite you to join us in person. You can make reservations by sending a check for $25 to First Friday Club, Post Office Box 13291, Fairlawn, Ohio 44334. You can call our phone number 330-535-7668 to make a reservation, or make a reservation on our website at Eventbrite. We have some excellent programming coming up for this year. Bishop Malesic will be our guest. We have the presidents of both Notre Dame of Ohio and Earthland Colleges as speakers. There are some program brochures out on the table, and we're still accepting subscriptions for the packages for the year. Again, if you want to listen to our podcast, go to our website. And this and many other talks can be found there. And if you have questions and you have written them down, we have board members that will pick those up. So just hold those up in the air and they'll pick them up. Now I'd like to do some recognitions. If you're a first-time attendee to the First Friday Club of Greater Akron, give us a wave. First time here, welcome. because of it being break, we don't have our usual contingent of high school students, but God bless these young men from Archbishop Hoban who are not even in school who came. So we have students here from Archbishop Hoban. We want to welcome Sarah Club and a group of seminarians who are here. The Sarah Club has invited them, so would you all please raise your hands so we can see where you are. And make note of the vocations prayer that the Sarah folks have kindly put on the tables. Please take those with you and offer those prayers for vocations like the Sarah Club folks do on a regular basis. And lastly, I would like to recognize board members of the First Friday Club. Give us a wave, board members. Now I'm going to invite Deacon Will back up to handle some questions.
Thank you. Okay. Can each one of you speak to, did you go to Catholic grade school and Catholic high school, and how that affected you?
I have been in Catholic school from 1995 to the current time. My claim to fame was I did 18 years of Catholic education on Euclid Avenue in the city of Wycliffe, Ohio. So I went from K to 8 at Mount Carmel, then lay Catholic, and then seminary for 9 years. For a long time, for me, religion was the easiest class that I had because Jesus is always the right answer. But similar to what Alex had mentioned, I knew a lot about Jesus. I knew his stats. I knew who he hung out with, but wasn't necessarily in relationship with him. And obviously, I think catechetically, things are, it's important to learn the faith, but it's also, our faith is not just an academic experience, but it's a relationship with a person. And so my life changed when I was a senior in high school and went on a high school retreat and encountered Jesus as being much more than just an answer on a test, but a person who desires to have a relationship with me, which I think that's what religion class was trying to teach. But I wasn't necessarily open and receptive to that. So it was helpful for me to have a framework of faith, but it just continued, you know, in my formation. But I think it was not just knowing about him, but knowing him.
As for me, as Deacon Will mentioned, I was homeschooled growing up. So, yeah, technically you could call that, being a Catholic student. Primary school, middle school. In high school, I bounced around a little bit, so I did some time with Ohio Virtual Academy, an online charter school, so I was still homeschooled. Did some time at Akron U as a post-secondary student, and then I graduated just from Cuyahoga Falls High School, so I'm technically a public school student there in high school. So some Catholic, some public there. But faith was still supplemented, so what I wasn't learning at home, I was learning at PSR, and then in high school with the youth group, so...
Awesome. Okay, thank you. Give you a better mic. Look at the bullet point answer. Basically, I didn't do any Catholic schools. I was homeschooled through the eighth grade, public school kid, and then seminary was really my first Catholic experience. Like I said, my parents and my parish were a huge impact for that, so PSR, learning about, huge foundation, but... school-wise, I didn't have a lot of Catholic upbringing in the academic sphere.
Yeah, I was first through eighth grade, St. Hilary's, so Catholic school, and then I went to Firestone, so public school for high school, and then John Carroll for university. I would say the impact on me, especially talking about religion class in particular, I thought it was very boring at the time, and I also thought that a lot of the things we were talking about in the gospel, or especially in the letters of Paul, were kind of self-evident in a lot of ways, which I think a lot of people my age and a lot of people in society do. They think that these things are just, of course, the weak. We shouldn't oppress the weak. We should take care of people, all these other things. These are very weird and strange ideas in the grand scheme of history. And it's only with a lot more learning that I've really started to realize that, and also just get a better understanding of what the Catholic Church is. And it's just so amazing that we have an incarnational church that is an actual bureaucracy, whether you like it or not. And it's pretty miraculous that it's still here. And it's definitely going to be the most important thing, that wherever my vocation is actually working in the physical and the real church, because everything else is going to come and go, but the church remains.
Amen. All right. First of all, the person that wrote this question wanted to thank each and every one of you for responding to the call to the priesthood. The question is, have you seen or experienced any of the episodes of the show The Chosen?
I have not.
10 minutes of the first one?
I think I've seen an episode or two, but I haven't had the chance to keep up with it.
Same.
We got an actor.
Yeah, I know. It was on the cover. I have a very active imagination, and I like praying with scripture. And I'm like, no, I don't want to. I want my own experience of this to be this. So.
That's awesome. What I would share with you, with reference to that question, is The Chosen is to me the ultimate in Ignatian spirituality. That you immerse yourself into the scripture. They're very clear that this is one perspective on it. So, and the backstory is beautiful. So I would encourage each of you. Plus, the climax of season 3, there's some really great actors in there. lastly, just like to say once again, each and every one of you, your stories are inspiring, and I wish every high school person could hear what you've said. And I think if that happened, we would have a full seminary. So thank you all very much.
Looking at the list that I was given, how come Hudson has so many... many men going in.
I can answer that question. An awesome youth program. That's what's
going on for years.
Oh, absolutely.
I would say with that is culture. So if you create culture, yep. In most places, Father Mike gave me a whole breakdown, and he's got this whole law of diffusion thing. Yep. If you have one, you might have one. If you have two, you're going to get four.
Yep.
Because people see young people being a part of it, and they think, wait, if this person could do it, I could. So I think for Hudson, it was Father Steve Flynn entered, Father Andrew Turner, they were around, Father David Ference was there as a parochial vicar, encouraging vocations, and then boom, 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 boom. And then, I mean, Ben's here from Hudson.
This has been going on for
years. Yep.
Yeah, definitely the culture.
Generous.
Again, thank you so much. So much to learn and so much to think about. And blessings on your future ministries to all of you. It's now my pleasure to introduce Archbishop Hovind's student, Marcel Ferrier, who will offer our closing prayer.
Dear Lord, we thank you for bringing us here today and for delivering your word through our speakers. May each of us who have been touched by this message take to heart the message that came forth. We pray that those seeking an answer received it, and that those who needed a special touch were granted that touch. We pray for your blessing on this strife-torn world, especially for an end to gun violence in our nation and for the protection of the people of Ukraine, Gaza, and Israel. Bless each of us and keep us safe until we are able to gather together again. We ask this through Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Thank you, Marcel. Again, thanks everyone for coming. We hope we'll be able to see some of you here next month for our special musical program. And safe travels and a happy new year.